This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That would be Andy Baskin, I would be Jeff Phelps, and this would be Travis Sawchuk from The Score, who's joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Travis covers baseball. Travis covers it well. Travis is a smart guy. Travis wrote a story not too long ago that says, Travis, you ready here? 10 players and teams that had the worst offseason. And at number 5, your Cleveland Guardians, folks. Hi, Travis.
Hey, Trav.
How are you guys?
Good,
we're okay.
Good.
We're okay. I must tell you, I couldn't agree with your assessment on this more. Because I'm still sitting here thinking, all right, you traded one of the best defenders in the game, and you traded a cleanup hitter, in theory, who hit 30 bombs and drove in 100 runs, and you hope to be better. All right, my fingers are crossed that you guys know what you're doing. Do they know what they're doing here? And if so, could you please tell us what it is?
Unfortunately, this is a sport, as we all know, that does not have a salary cap or floor for the fans of small and mid-market teams. So the Guardians are one of these clubs, like the Pittsburgh Pirates, not that the Mariners are a small market, but there are a number of frustrated fan bases out there looking at roster, looking clear voids and gaps that were not addressed. And it's not necessarily Guardians front office issue. It's, you know, what are the ownership constraints? What is the budget? And the Guardians front office is a very smart group of people. And they've, of course, built a great pitching development system. I think the position player side coming up, some of those prospects are really exciting. But it does feel a bit like their hands are tied again. And the front office might also, you know, understanding that they seem to be, I don't want to say punting, but they have their eye on, I think, 2026 and beyond as much as they do this season. So it does feel like maybe a strategic half step back, but that's not exactly going to get fans fired up in the off season. I did like bringing Bieber back. John Means, I think, is interesting down the road. But there are clear voids. They created some weaknesses with some of those moves you outlined, and I do think it's one of the more underwhelming off seasons amongst teams that have, you know, realistic playoff aspirations going into the season.
It's funny, Travis, you talk about having a plan and wanting to stick to it, but someone forgot to tell the Guardians last year that plan wasn't supposed to go as fast as it did, and so how does that change going into this season? That the expectations you had for last year probably were, like, you know, blew it out of the water because you didn't expect that to happen. And now all of a sudden there are expectations on this team and people want to see if they can, you know, repeat and duplicate what they did. Just like you guys were just talking, I just don't know that they picked up the assets to do that. But I'll tell you what, I felt this way a year ago and it's the way they played.
Yeah, certainly. And the one thing this club does have going for it, as I alluded to earlier, is they're just a very good they have a great developmental system. So David Williams, for example, is disappointing last year. He's had some health issues. fastball hasn't played well, but we're seeing early this spring that the fastball velo's up, and he's had some really nice early outings. What if he takes a leap? What if Tristan McKenzie gets back to, what if he's healthier and back to his form of a few years ago? So there's some reasons for optimism just from the value you can create an improvement from existing players, and they are one of the teams in baseball, like the Dodgers, like the Rays, that are very adept at doing that. So not a lot of external help is coming in, but there are some internal reasons for optimism and why they could exceed expectations as they did a year ago. They've been very good at building bullpens without putting a lot of financial resources into those arms. So that's not going to, I don't think player development sells tickets in the offseason, that sort of thing, but that is one reason to be optimistic that they can exceed forecasts and projections. And if you do look at the Fangraphs or Baseball Prospectus forecast going into a season, the Guardians are one of the teams that historically has done better at beating those forecasts. And I do think it is coaching, it is development, it is those things that aren't captured as well by prognosticators, projection systems. So there is that hope element that is somewhat founded in reality.
Travis Sawchuk joining us. He's the senior baseball writer at The Score, and you can read all of his work at thescore.com. Can you make sense of what the move was at first base with Josh Naylor? Did they think he was going to break down? Did they think they didn't want to go into a contract year? Did they think this works? You don't want Mainzarder to get at-bats as many, maybe because he's not ready, and you bring in Santana. I'm still trying to exactly figure out why this move was made. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's hard to argue that trading one of your top power threats and cleanup hitter, middle of the order guy, is a step forward. I think
with
a
year
things.
Under contract still.
That's right. I do think he wasn't a player that they wanted to commit to long term, and industry wide, teams are not investing a lot generally in first baseman power only players. We can argue whether that's correct or not, but teams are just not doing that. I think there probably were concerns about how Naylor would age, how would his body hold up. There's been some concern there. And this is a club, as we know, that does not like to let players with value just leave with no return other than, you know, potential draft pick compensation. So, you know, they generally, we've seen it with starting pitchers at the trade deadline, they're trying to maximize all the player asset value they have. So lastly, I think they're counting on probably more of a DH role, but they're counting on Mainzarder to take another leap forward. And I do think he showed real growth in the second half. And I do want, Carlos Santana is still a very good defender, and I wonder if trading the platinum glove of men at second base, they were trying to help the right side of the infield by just we're giving up some defense here, maybe we can bring some back at first base too, and a swap there. So I think all those things combined led to this. And you know, but as for 2025, it's a real, they probably got, just if you're looking at the net of this these trades, they're definitely worse on paper. That's how the infield. But again, I think they have their eye on 2026 and beyond as much as they do this year. I know that's not one of what folks want to hear, but that seems to be what the club is thinking.
Travis, I think kind of a cool story emerged yesterday, and I can't wait to see how it plays out for the Guardians when you take a guy like Tyler Naquin, who played in the outfield, takes a year off, and now he wants to pitch. I'm looking forward to seeing how the story evolves and what happens next. What do you think of the story? I think it's fun when you can take a guy that was a position player, and now all of a sudden he's going to be a pitcher. And, you know, I don't know. I'm really rooting for him. I don't know your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, the arm is legit, as we all know from watching him in right field. Mm-hmm. And we see these stories occasionally of position players making that transition. Probably the most successful one is Kenley Jansen, who's likely to be a Hall of Fame closer. I'm not saying that's in store for Naquin, but the arm is legit. And with all the training tools available today, there's a better shot than ever to he's not going to be a frontline starting pitcher or anything like that, but it's not unreasonable to think he could be a future. He could have a future as a relief pitcher. It's unlikely that he's, you know, an impact arm in the future, but you just, you don't know. And it's more likely than ever that a guy with a live arm can make that transition. It's just the feedback loop, these pitching labs, you can add a breaking ball easier than ever just from understanding how a grip change affects spin, movement, all that. So it's definitely, it's possible. It's a great story. Everyone's going to be rooting for him. So it'll be something to keep an eye on this year. And it's got a shot. It's plausible. Might not be likely, but he's got a plausible chance to carve out a role down the road.
Travis Sawchuk joining us, and you can follow Travis on X at Travis_Sawchuk, SawChik. When you look at this team's outfield situation, I'm a little stunned that we're sitting here and it's looking real similar to what we had at the end of last year. Lane Thomas in center, fine. Stephen Kwan in left, fine. Question mark in right field. I'm not fine with that. I'm surprised that they haven't answered that question. Was the answer going to be Chase DeLauter before his injury, Travis, or what do you think?
Yeah, a really unfortunate injury because DeLauter had he still has a chance, but he had a real chance to, with a great spring, break camp, be it another impact, potential bat in the lineup. So that's a blow for a team that hasn't had a 20 home run outfielder since 2014, I believe, which is pretty astounding. And I've been on your show before, I believe, just this weakness they've had. They've had like a historic power outage in outfield. Been successful despite it, but it's one of those areas where they could make real gains if they find it, especially right field. It's been such a revolving door. And I'm curious to see, does Jonathan Rodriguez get a shot? I think he's really intriguing. Will Brennan, I still think there's a limitation there, and he's not an ideal profile fit there. Can DeLauter make some mid-season? Can he return mid-season? So yeah, it's such an obvious area for an upgrade, but it's going to have to come internally. And I think the good news is you do have, whether it's DeLauter with health, Rodriguez, who has real underlying power that they've been lacking, just like Big Christmas, another profile. But they do have some power profiles there, which could come through this year and which would be a much needed improvement. It's not going to come externally, but I think the good news is they do have some options, whether breaking camp or midseason, that could finally raise the power floor on, especially right field, which has just been such a not ideal for a contender to put out some of the right fielders they've had in recent years there, for sure.
Hey, Travis, how do you see the AL Central playing out? I mean, no one expected the Guardians to do what they did last year. Is it the Twins? Who are we chasing, and what's the margin of error between these teams? With the exception of the White Sox.
Yeah, White Sox clearly still in a deep rebuild. But the rest of the division, you know, it's become more competitive. The Royals are more of a threat, and they've improved the top of their lineup with getting Jonathan India from the Reds. Their pitching was really healthy last year, so we'll have to see if they have the same good fortune in their starting rotation. You know, the Tigers are a real threat, as you know, we saw in the playoff series last year, and they're Jackson Jobe is likely to be in the rotation. He's a top five overall prospect in baseball, so they're getting better. They added Gleyber Torres. They made some financial commitments that other teams in the division didn't this year, so they're going to be right there in the mix again. Twins, they're in this ownership sales limbo, which is, I think, kind of iced what they can do from a payroll perspective, but they've been competitive in recent years and will be again. So I do think it's the good news is for the Guardians is they're not in the AL East, but the AL Central is becoming more competitive. You're not going to be able to win this division with 84 games anymore, so, or anything like that. So it's going to require a better overall roster, better injury fortune, that sort of thing, because it is becoming a tougher neighborhood. And I think that's going to continue and for the foreseeable future. It's not AL flyover country is becoming a more competitive baseball landscape.
Travis, great to have you with us. Thank you very much, and look forward to talking to you all throughout the season. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, anytime, fellas.
Thanks, Travis.
Travis.
Could be Vegas, could be Nashville, San Antonio.
Sacramento.
Could be, well, maybe.
Montreal. Whatever they want. Montreal's good.
Is Montreal good? We need a team back in Montreal.
I think Montreal deserves a team. I mean, how does a major city like that not have a Major League Baseball
team? They sold well in Montreal. It was just getting a new stadium that caused them to move to the Nats.
Jeff, they used to let cats run around at night to take care of the business when they were back at Olympic Stadium.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
Either that or you can put out those plastic boxes and then, you know, pick them up at the end of the night.
Exactly. It was so big. Olympic Stadium was just way too big. It made Cleveland Municipal seem tiny.
Nice.
It seemed like Jacobs Field.
Nice.
They also couldn't get players to go there because all their kids were in French-speaking schools. So it was really difficult to get free agents.
All right, I'll buy that
point.
Too. Yeah.
Valid point.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Point.
And a lot of cigarette smoking. I remember, like, it was all... Everyone smoked everywhere, all over the place there. It reminded me of being around here in, like, the, what, 80s? Everyone was smoking everywhere.
And we'd like to thank everybody for that because we really love the ballpark and the arena.
That's true. Imagine if they had a Syntax in Montreal, they'd pay for that thing in like 30 seconds.
Be done. You'd have big cats.
It is really weird, though, that you've got a city that is so close to the American border with Montreal. I mean, how far is it from Vermont? It's hardly anything. And it feels like going to Europe when you go there. It's a really cool town.
Oui, oui.
Yes.
I've never been there.
Yes.
I'll go one day. It'll be fun.
Bring back Youppi. Youppi was awesome.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Youppi needs a home.
Okay.
And especially if you've ever seen the video where Tommy Lasorda gets Youppi thrown out of a game. It's an all-timer.
Oh, it is.
It's an all-timer.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
Shh. Get back on subject. Go. Don't talk about Youppi. Next thing you know, we'll be talking about gas tanks.
I'm sorry, man.
Or a manager getting a mascot thrown out of a game, which happens all the time. When I signed up
for this gig.
I just see Jeff get so like on point sometimes.
Well, when I signed up for this gig, they said you're going to talk sports. And though I like talking about other stuff from time to time,
yes.
I kind of figure they want us to get back to the sports from every once in a while.
Every once in a while, that's true. We could do 4 hours on gas tank stuff.
We're going to talk about gas tanks later on. Is that okay?
Oh, we are. All right. Well, then
says that right here.
See all the blue seats in
and
the ballpark?
And it was my idea. Yeah, I hate the blue seats.
You don't like the blue seats?
No, green baseball.
What's the
grass?
Why?
Big warm green hug.
You're,
nature.
Jeff is anti-blue seat at the ballpark.
Absolutely.
Wow. Really?
Absolutely anti-blue seat.
I mean, if
there's
a hill to die on, that's the last one I'm dying on.
Well, yeah, you didn't ask me to die on it. You just asked me if I like the blue seats. And the answer is no.
The blue seats are
the green seats were phenomenal, and they changed them out.
Yeah, because they were only there for 25 years. It's about time.
Put in new green ones.
How about blue ones? Give it a little fresh feel.
Why do you need blue seats?
Why did you need green seats?
Because it made it feel natural.
Oh.
Green grass, you know, green
I've
seats.
Seen, you know,
I know the team wanted to go more with a team color in the seats.
Yeah, well, that would make sense, too. But I also think of the blue waters of the Caribbean when I think of these new blue seats.
Have you been to Lake Erie
lately? So that is natural.
It's not the Caribbean.
I didn't ask. Caribbean.
Look it up. Go ahead, Andy. Google it here and figure out which way it is.
I think they're both
Caribbean
right.
Or Caribbean.
I thought they're both right, aren't they?
Probably so.
Dan, you break all ties.
Oh, yeah. Come to me for anything involving English.
All right.
Anthony, want in on that piece of that argument?
What did they say in Montreal?
It's Caribbean.
This little smart guy kid's on his way to something, isn't he? He's going to have a hell of a career.
I am Andre Lacroix, greatest player ever in the AHL. Caribbean. Ever.
Caribbean. Hey, Dano, hit the thing here, will you?
WHL, sorry.
Baskin and Phelps present The Race.
What is the fella's name on second base?
I don't know.
For second base.
Oh,
Andre Lacroix, let him play second base. He's a mean defenseman.
He can probably hit better than the guys who are in the race right now.
He was a one-time color analyst.
Yes.
Two. One.
Yeah, that's where we are with second base.
I got to get back to.
So yesterday,
sorry.
Right, Guardians had a 4-0 win over Arizona. Okay, Bo Naylor, 2 home runs, 4 runs batted in. Unfortunately, he's not playing second base.
Deep sigh.
Juan Brito started at second base. You know, and Juan's the guy. When we started this thing, Andy, we thought he might be the guy. I mean, he has been in the top spot in the race for second base.
Yes.
So he started yesterday at second base. He hit 7th.
Uh-oh.
0-for-3 with a strikeout.
That will not get you back into first place.
His batting average, a robust .063.
Should we do a group sigh?
3-2-1.
Will Wilson took over. He went 0-for-1. Will's not in the race for second base. None of the other guys in the race for second base played last night. But Andy...
Yes, Mr. Blutarski, 0.0.
I think it's time. Our standings in the race for second base.
What?
The man in place to be the starter, we think, at the beginning of the season. We're not making a change here.
What?
No. It is still Gabe Arias. Despite the fact that he's hitting all of 188.
We'll get it fixed.
Unlikely. 7 games, 16 at-bats for Gabe. I'm thinking he's playing today. Just sounds like Stefanski. It's really Kyle Shanahan. The number 2 man in the race for second base is now Tyler Freeman.
That's the shakeup. Okay.
Yep, that's the shakeup. Tyler Freeman's gaining steam, and he's gaining steam without even playing.
Boink!
That's a problem. He's gaining steam and not playing. He's hitting 400. But now I'm going to get back to this. Who are they giving the at-bats to? Who are they giving the starts to? It's Arias and it's Juan Brito, who drops to third with his 0.63 batting average. He, along with Arias, played in 7 games, 16 at-bats. Angel Martinez, no, he's hitting under 100. 7 games, 14 at-bats. And Travis Bazzana hasn't played lately. So he's hitting 143, 4 games, 7 at-bats. But I think Brito is failing so miserably in this opportunity that we have to drop him down a spot. One good game puts him right back in the number 2 spot. 2 good games, and Arias not having a good game might put Brito in the number 1 spot. That's how dismal the situation is at second base so far this spring. But it's only spring. You were just kind of hoping that somebody would say, yep, my gig, thank you. When do I begin?
It's not happening.
No, it's not happening.
We should, though, we should equate the position, like first, second, third, as we have these, with the Delta pledge class. Don't you think that'd be fair? So whoever's in the lead would be Kroger. Kroger had like the 1.2 GPA. So that would be the Kroger award winner. Yeah. Right?
I like that.
You like that? And so then the next one would be Dorfman, Kent Dorfman.
Fat, drunk, drunk and stupid. There's no way to go through that.
Yeah, so.
Who ended up working where?
Dorfman? Oh, here in Cleveland.
That's right.
As a gynecologist, like a right?
No, he was a support counselor.
Is that what he was?
Eric Stratton was the gynecologist.
Oh, Eric Stratton got
I'm glad to meet you.
Yeah. Yeah, so then the next one, I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head, or while I look at the script. Hoover was there, and he was the president. Bluto had 0.0, and
okay.
And the last one was
do I have to reel you in again?
Yeah, just a little bit. What's his D-Day didn't even take any, didn't even go to class.
Can't have nice thing.
No,
D-Day ended up doing a lot of things.
He was in a lot of
acting
stuff,
roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he never played the guy like he played in. In Animal House.
It was awesome. When he took his fingers and could do William Tell Overture. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, it was really pretty good.
That should have been worth some money somewhere down the road. What'd you think?
He got a lot of acting gigs.
He would have got... imagine
he didn't look anywhere near like the bad guy that he looked like in Animal House.
No.
Tanner Bibee made his first start yesterday.
I know. Very
excited
about that.
He went 3.
And?
3 strikeouts. One walk. He did just great.
Want to ask for anything more? And then one.
Yeah, I wouldn't ask for something more. You know what I want to ask for?
4 strikeouts.
Former second round pick, Doug Nikhazy.
Oh,
3 innings, 6 strikeouts.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
In relief. He's going to be on this team.
Clase get back on track yesterday? I know he's.
He pitched. Don't ask me how he did. I don't pay any attention.
What
I look at guys.
Two strikeouts.
I look at guys I have concerns about.
He gave up a hit.
Or I have interest in. I have no concerns about Emmanuel Clase.
Some people were a little concerned during the playoffs, at the end of the playoffs.
Well, it's because he pitched 145 games in the regular season. Just slightly expanded there.
Okay.
I do find it interesting they're bringing him in like the 4th innings, so they make sure he gets his inning in. Not a bad way to go. I think Nikhazy might be a guy who could sneak into that 5th spot in the rotation. I'm wondering if Tristan McKenzie is. I was going to ask Travis about it, but I decided not to. I wonder what happens with Tristan this year. And I also think this.
He's on the edge.
What if he doesn't make the rotation? And
he had options.
Are you going to turn him into a bullpen guy? Are you going to move on from him? What are you going to do?
I mean, he got hurt. Does he need to have the surgery? I mean, maybe.
He's pitched in 2 games this spring.
Does he have the surgery finally or no?
Well, if he does, then he's out a year. He apparently is healthy. Apparently.
Still kind of wondering why he didn't have surgery last year. Because
he didn't want to undergo surgery.
I mean,
it's that simple. Though the Tommy John surgery is becoming wildly... what's the word? I won't say successful. It almost works all the time. There's still the chance it doesn't. And some guys just don't want to have their arm cut open, Andy.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
And he didn't want to.
He is he avoided arbitration this year. He's Arb 3 next year. So
he's also going to turn 28 in August. If he doesn't,
I want that to work out though.
I
don't
do too.
You?
Yeah, he seems like a great guy. And man, we've seen him pitch well. But you know, you see his body type and you naturally think, man, that's a lot of skinny to be throwing that hard. You know?
You'd think it would take its toll on your joints, and it has.
Some pitchers have the expression, mass equals gas.
Ah, I like that.
You know, bigger guys throw harder. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But you would think your body's more designed to throw harder if you got more behind it.
I don't remember that whole... Well, I will say, remember the whole CeCe story where CeCe was like...
CeCe got skinny and he didn't throw as well.
Yeah, he didn't. And CeCe at one point, after he'd signed a big contract, someone said, hey, how much is your contract? He said, how much? He said, yep. And then they... person turned back and said, think you could maybe buy an exercise bike in there? And CeCe was a way better pitcher when he was bigger. Man, he was a workhorse.
Craig Stadler was a way better golfer when he was bigger.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Because that's where you learn to play the game.
Yeah, I guess so. Your body's used
CeCe
to it.
didn't get to the majors pitching as a skinny guy.
Yeah, I mean, he lost all that weight and he just wasn't anywhere near as effective as he was.
See, that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be.
What do you? Well, that's offensive lineman, hey, right? Eat some more steaks.
Yeah, pass the bonbons, please.
So, moral of the story is keep an eye on Tugboat and Guardians camp.
Tugboat,
that's
baby.
What we're going with.
Tugboat.
Keep an eye on Tugboat.
Tugboat. What's he weigh about? 280?
Something like that. He's a husky fellow.
I love that. I do love that. That's great. You want to talk gas tanks, Andy?
I do. I also have another thing that I've got to talk to you about that kind of bothers me about this weekend.
Really?
I'll tell you about that when we come back. You good with
that? We don't have plans to see each other. That can't be it.
Well, we'll see each other sooner than you think.
On Baskin and Phelps? Oh, my
yes.
Goodness. All right, that's coming up. So I'm driving in today.
Yeah?
And Shooky coming up at 1. Driving in today.
Uh-huh.
And you know the van died, so that's,
sorry,
that's been gone.
Can we get a sigh for
the van,
that's truly
the van.
Every time
we
talk about the van.
It's all right.
It brings out a lot of emotion and feelings for me.
It's all right. The van did this. But the car I'm driving now does it even more.
And what is that, Jeff?
Anybody else have this issue? I think it's a brilliant move, I think, on the part of automakers. But the car I'm driving now, you fill it up with gas, and it gets great mileage. It gets great mileage. And the little thing says, you know, hey, you've got, you know, 400 miles to empty. You got,
that would be called the gas gauge, yes.
You've got 300, but, you know, it gives you the information.
It's electronic now, gas gauge, yeah.
And then it says, you know, you got 250 miles. And I'm looking, I still got 3/4 of a tank.
Yeah.
I got 250 miles to go still. This is great.
Feeling good.
I get down to about half, and it says, you still got 200 miles to go. I'm thinking, that's awesome.
Driving to Erie and back.
I'm getting, this is unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you drive down the street, and it says, 4 miles to empty, and the needle drops like crazy. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
Once you get down a little bit past half full, man, that thing just is like, it just sucks up the gas. So, you know, it's got to be in your mind. It's like, man, my tank has been on full forever. This is great.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're not.
So what's going on here?
Would it last? It wouldn't have the same mental perception if it quickly drained down to half and then it took forever to go from half to a quarter, would it? It wouldn't for me. I love seeing that needle up there at about 3/4.
Is there a sweeter feeling than looking at that gauge and it says you have over 400 miles in gas?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Miles to go.
That's why they do that.
Yeah.
For instance, today, I drove into work and I needed to get a little gas. I thought I should get gas sometime today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sometime today, because it said I had 87 miles to empty. Well, I don't drive 87 miles to and from work.
And I need to ask you guys both a question about this. What is the optimum miles to go before you have to get gas?
Well, let me finish my story.
Okay,
and we'll get into that.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
I'll steer us back onto the track.
Oh, because this isn't the same conversation.
Well, let me just finish this thought.
Go ahead, finish.
It said 87 miles to empty.
Yes.
Okay, I have about a 30-mile drive to work every day.
I think we need the music.
Yeah. No, you don't need sappy music. It's not a sappy story.
It is kind of sappy.
No, it's not.
You're kind of sappy.
It said 87 miles. Pretty soon, I'm not even halfway to work, and it says I have 60 miles to empty.
Oh.
Well, I have only driven like 13 miles. What the heck happened to the rest of that gas?
What is going on?
That's not nice.
What a tragedy.
So it's no tragedy.
Oh.
But they're messing with my mind.
They are.
They're messing with my mind.
I love it.
Like, I didn't move further away from work. I don't know what you're doing to me.
I need the engineer that designed that to sit here for a few days. Just to mess with your mind
a little bit. Not a bad idea, is it?
My nephew does that stuff.
Designs cars?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ding!
That's right.
Well, could he fix the gas problem for me?
Yeah.
Does he do interiors, or what's he do?
He works on... the last big project he worked on was a hydraulic lift for the back of a pickup truck.
Very nice.
Cool. Yeah, designed it. Very cool.
Really?
Yeah.
He obviously can't be from your side of the family, can he?
My brother's kid. Are you kidding? Not me. Although thank God for my wife, because my kids are pretty smart. Oh.
Thank God for your wife.
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, anytime we have a question about anything transportation.
Oh, for sure.
Robert in Brecksville in his Malibu with over 400,000 miles is the guy to go to.
Oh. Okay, so you want to drop that card. Do you want me to tell you what I'm at now?
Yes.
When I get
to
460.
I am at 447. I'll be at 450 by St. Patrick's Day.
That's outstanding.
Congratulations.
You're on your second engine, though, right?
I replaced the engine once.
Okay, yeah. That's what I said.
Almost everything under the hood has been replaced except for the AC compressor, which I'm doing at the end of this month.
You must love that car.
The starter's still factory.
All right, go ahead.
So I had the same problem with my fuel level sensor, my fuel tank. I since had it replaced, but what I did is, because I know how the volume of the fuel tank, and I just sort of set my trip history and just paid attention to it that way, but the fuel gauge would dance around all over the place like, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters. I just got tired of dealing with it. So I still have a bit of a problem with it now, but it's consistent to where I can still look at it and predict it. But again, I got a 13-gallon tank. I usually push it to about 11 and change is based off of how many miles I drive relative to my average fuel economy, and I just deal with it that way.
All right, so 11 miles to go. That's when you get gas?
When I've gone through about 11 gallons based off of my trip from when I fill up. Every time I fill up, I reset the trip history.
Yes.
And then it also displays my total miles driven against my fuel economy. Right now, since I last filled up, I'm at 33.2 per gallon. So once I get to about 330 gallons, 330 miles.
Oh, my God. Robert, way too much work. This is way too much
work. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
You're always getting confused there.
Yeah, there's no math on this show. Man.
Chuck's in a car. So he has a point of view.
The only way you're going to know how much gas you actually have in the car is if you pull a Kramer. You got to go past zero. You got to see how far you can go below zero, because that number is misleading.
Come on, let's go, Mr. Kramer.
Chuck, how many miles will you try to get out of your car after zero?
I'm getting 24 presently.
After zero?
Have you gone down to 0 miles left?
Oh, and not on purpose. Oh, my gosh. I was going to board a flight, and I didn't realize that I was below zero because it was a new car, and I wasn't used to the new gas gauge.
Yeah,
Chuck, that was you, man.
A ride, boys.
All right, Chuck, thank you very much.
All right, so what is your ultimate miles to go before you get gas?
I usually, and I always have, even, you know, when I was in my teens, I would get gas about a quarter of a tank.
Mannequin, come on, man.
Oh, I go till the light comes on.
That's about a quarter of a tank, isn't it? Eighth of a tank?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but when the little light turns on, that's what I'm like,
all
right.
All I know is I can't stand getting in our other car that my wife drives all the time, and it says, you know, 14 miles to empty.
Oh, thanks, I respect honey. Your wife.
Thanks.
I have newfound respect.
I was going to say, lowest I think I ever got was like 9. I think 9 miles.
You've never hit zero before?
No, I've never hit zero.
Oh,
never.
And.
I don't want to push. I almost had to push once when I was in Canada, and I was like, we're not doing this.
Have you guys ever run out of gas?
Once, high school. It's the last time I ran out of gas, and I will ride that thing down to zero.
I never ran out of gas, but I was at a point in Canada where it was at zero, and we were having We were having to drive up hills and then coast down hills.
Wow, man. You had to get to the gas station and get some liters put in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I ran out of gas once.
And?
I was on Quick Road in Peninsula. And? I don't even know how I did it.
There's not a lot of gas stations around there, are there?
No. Luckily, some folks I knew from high school actually came up behind me and gave me a ride.
Is there a gas station in Peninsula?
Downtown? No, there used to be.
Yeah, I don't. My favorite part of the game is
on Quick Road. So
okay. So my favorite game to play there is to see who's sitting in the car with you next to you
and see watch if they can walk.
Oh no! Watch them freak out. Just watch them freak out. Like as I get closer to zero, they're like, hey, you. Yeah, this is the worst. You know, you only have 50 miles worth of gas left there. Like, yeah, 50 miles. I'm driving to Columbus and back on 50 miles, man.
Dana, how regular is this during our conference calls? Hey, guys, I'll be right back. I got to get a splash and go.
Splash and go, yeah. Makes me feel like I'm a NASCAR driver.
I know. You always do it. Splash and go.
Anthony, what about you? Where are you at? Please come through for me.
I just siphon gas out of other cars.
Oh, even me. I love this kid. So snarky.
Fearless Leader sent me a text.
So snarky. Yes.
Fearless Leader says letting gas get below a quarter of a tank is really bad for your car. It's hard on the fuel pump. Can overheat easily if not getting enough fuel, and you're out hundreds of dollars. This public service announcement from Fearless Leader.
I've never heard that before.
Is that why my car broke down in Delaware last year?
It's state or city?
The state of Delaware. I was 200 miles away from where I was going.
You know, one thing that is a problem, though, with catalytic converters and stuff,
I found
this out recently. If you let it get too low, it can mess things up a little bit.
I've never once thought about that. I'm normally a quarter of a tank guy, too. Like, if I say I'm a quarter of a tank, I'll get gas, but I don't sweat it. Like, I'm not freaking out.
Yeah, we know. Oh, yeah. Guys, I got to stop. I got to get a splash and go.
Just say, hey, guys, I'm doing a splash and go. Just chill. Just talk amongst yourself.
You don't say it like that. Oh, Dan, does he say it like that?
It occasionally gets a little panicky. It gets a little panicky.
If I'm on the freeway and I'm nowhere near a gas station, that kind of...
You know what I love? I love when you look down and you don't know you don't have gas, and then all of a sudden you realize you don't have gas when you're talking to us. It's one of my highlights of the week.
Our social media mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads on Twitter. Big Mike does here with a picture of his that says he is 10 miles to empty right now and is proud because he's gotten to 3 miles left a few times. That's for the lowest that he's gotten.
That's beautiful. Steve is in Peninsula, where I once ran out of gas, the only time in my life, Steve.
Hey, that's why I called. I heard you say that. I'm literally on Quick Road right now.
Nice.
There is no gas station in Peninsula. There's nothing in Peninsula except Fisher's and Winky Lizard. And,
there used to be one on the corner next to Fisher's.
Oh, there was one over there?
I'm wishing they would make that a general store, because if you need a gallon of milk, you got to drive halfway across town for a gallon of milk.
Hop on the train. The train's right there.
Steve, did you go to Woodridge?
I didn't, but if you remember, Jeff, I called a few months ago. My daughter is the dive team. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Wait, so she alone is the diving team?
She's it.
She's the only one on the diving team? Wow.
She's actually the first and only that's ever been on the diving team. So she's breaking all the records.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. I bet she was the MVP this year, too.
She was. Well, here's the deal. She's only been doing it for 5 months. She was in gymnastics before, but she qualified for districts and came in fourth in the Northeast District.
Yeah, baby. Bulldog pride right there, Steve.
Congratulations.
And then the state championship, she went and placed ninth in the states, only diving for 5 months.
That's a proud dad right there.
That is.
Woodridge High?
I'm excited. Woodridge High.
She's sitting right next to me listening in the car. So.
Hey, congratulations. Right.
Thank you, Steve.
Way to be a good
bulldog.
Someone's
got to pay for that really expensive scoreboard you guys have.
Thank you, Steve.
That does an excellent job with track.
Appreciate that.
It's one of my favorite scoreboards in Northeast Ohio.
That's wonderful.
Woodridge.
That's wonderful.
Congratulations to you and all of those that
came before
you. The
baseball field is right on the other side of that.
Oh, yes. You have to walk through it to get to the track.
When I played there, they used to park cars during football season on the baseball field. So you can imagine what that outfield, and the infield for that matter, looked like. Come baseball season.
That'll work.
It worked out really well.
All right, so we have a minute. Can I complain about one thing really quick?
Oh, we have a minute?
Is it me, or does it feel like we're changing our clocks too early? It's this weekend?
It does feel a little early.
It's Sunday, right? Sunday, we go to daylight saving time.
Yep. Saturday night?
Am I nuts?
Spring forward. Lose that hour of sleep.
Yeah. That's weak. I like the extra day.
All right,
so if you had your druthers, would you rather be on our time we're on now or saving time?
I'm bad because I can't stand getting up when it's dark out. And sometimes depressing. We have to do that. And I forget when it is. It might be now when we spring forward. But I love having that extra hour of daylight at night during nice weather. During the winter, I don't care. Doesn't matter.
I
go inside and watch a basketball.
Are you in or out, Dan? Would you rather be daylight saving or would you rather be on the time we're on now?
I don't care. Just pick one and stick with it. I'm tired of moving clocks back and forth. Just pick one.
Yeah, and then trying to find the button in your car. If it doesn't automatically reset. I'm pro daylight saving time. I just want to stay. You know why? Because I like being out, staying late, like watching baseball game until, you know, kids can play till 8:30.
I love it when it's light outside at 9:30.
Yeah, and I think that was, when I lived in Montana, it didn't get totally dark until midnight around, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's cool.
Totally dark, especially with the That's mountains cool. in the background. But during the winter, when it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's totally dark. You're like, this sucks.
When I lived in Texas, it didn't stay light all the time because we were closer to the equator.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.